Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, everyone. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Another hour of outdoors headed your way. No politics, no Mueller, no Barr, no politicians. Oh, my goodness. Let's set those folks aside for a few hours. What do you say? For a couple of days, as a matter of fact. And if you choose, even longer than that. I know I have had quite enough of it. It's 6 after the hour, and we've got a few things to do in this hour. We're going to talk about shallow water bass fishing, turkey hunting. We're going to talk have the Medal of Honor tribute, and of course your calls. You can listen to the program on AM 750 and 95.5 FM, and on the SB Nation from Seattle to Sacramento to LA, throughout Texas, the central part of the country, on EIWEEI in Boston and WSB in Atlanta, and covering the countryside for O'Neill Outside. So let me tell you, this program is brought to you by Timbuktu Outdoors, Hayes Auto, True Turn, Stripling's General Store, Alaskan Cruise Adventure. We're going to talk about that in this hour. Tough Shed, the Governor's Gun Club, O'Neill's Oils, Real Tree Camo, Snellville Heating and Air, Zach Brown Knives, Arctic Ice Packs, Rush Creek Outfitters, Bodyplex, and Works Tools. And it's 8 minutes after the hour. Well, I hope you'll join us this morning. We do have a lot of wonderful things to talk about. The fish are shallow, whether it's crappie, largemouth, spotted bass, stripers, trout, no matter what it is, even walleye in those areas. So it's time to go fishing and take a child along. Make memories if you can. And a fishing trip will surely do that. We have the Alaskan Adventure to talk about. Yes, indeed. O'Neill and a group, we're going to Alaska. Next summer, not this summer, next summer. We'll be able to talk about that also. Telephone numbers are 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. And, of course, you can watch us on Facebook right now at O'Neill Outside. Get ready. Some more outdoors headed your way. We'll be back. We have several callers on the line right now. We want to get to every single one of them if we can, so let's jump in there at 404-872-0750 in the Atlanta area, and SB Nation across the nation at 800-972-8255. Now let's talk to, always an interesting call, to speak to Richard in West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Well, so it's always an interesting call. I hope this one is, too.
Oh, they always are.
I hear you talking about taking a kid fishing. I'm just thinking about, just like on a day like today, and there's a certain pond or lake you want to go to, and you don't really know if they, I mean, it's not really advertised that they have bass or trout or something. What I want to know, do you really have to be informed if you want to go there, to go fishing, to know? I've heard them say, like, if you want to get bass, you look for a rock pile or something like that. It just seems like you need to know a lot if you're going to go fishing, and you want, if you take a kid with you, that maybe there's a good chance he's going to catch something. Do you have to really be informed of what's in the lake and where they usually hit and what kind of lure they would hit on? In other words, do you have to be educated instead of just going out there and getting a certain lure or a certain bait you just throw in and say, I hope I catch something?
Well, there's certain kind of rules of thumb that will help the amateur be successful if he's in a pond or a small lake. Number one, he should fish in the area of the lake, if he can, where there's some current. Number two, he can use live bait, worms for the bottom, crickets for the mid-range, and even crickets under a a shallow plug. You need to put scent into the water. You don't have to be a scientist, because if there's fish there, they will smell the bait and they will bite. Now, using artificials, of course, you have to be more of an expert. The beautiful thing about using live bait, whether they be crickets or minnows or worms or whatever, if you have a child with you, they can play with the bait, which they will. So don't let that deter you from venturing out. I'm sure that whomever lives close to the lake will be more than happy, especially if you have a child, to give you the information necessary that you catch a few. My only final recommendation is don't make the trip last very long. 3 or 4 hours will be sufficient. Give it a try. You'll catch them, Richard.
Okay, crickets and worms are something you could use then.
That's right. Something. See, a fish will locate bait by fish will locate bait by smell.
Yeah, and because that's interesting, because I heard you say in the past, I'll guarantee that you can catch more with a lure than you can with live bait. I'm pretty sure I heard you say that.
Yes, and that applies to the experienced fisherman, because he gets that done because he covers more territory. He presents the bait to more fish with an artificial lure than he does with live bait.
Okay,
live bait is a dependable way to fish.
I was thinking that all along until I heard you say it. But that's just for the experienced fisherman. Like if you're going to fish plan on fishing a tournament or something like that, like the Elite or the Bassmasters or something like that.
Well, that's the super upper echelon, but yes. Because he presents the bait to more fish.
All right,
There's nothing wrong with live bait. When I was 11, 12, 13 years old, that's how I made my Saturday spending money, and that was fishing catfish ponds, and I used whole kernel corn for bait.
You made money doing that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. A friend of mine and I, we used to fish the local catfish ponds, the place where you can pay a dollar and fish all day. And we figured out if we would buy some whole kernel corn, cans of shelled corn, and throw it out in the water right out in front of where we were fishing, that it was soon that smell and all that food in the water attracted every fish in the lake. And we would visit the other people around the lake and tell them that if they didn't have any fish when they got ready to leave, we would have plenty of them, and we would sell them those fish. And I know many a Saturday I would make $7 or $8 when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, catching fish in a local pond using corn.
Okay, so all that, crickets, corn, night crawlers or stuff like that, mealworms, all that kind of
yes.
stuff is still good for catching the fish.
Oh, yes, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, thanks, Neil.
Okay, thank you for calling, Richard. I always enjoy your call. And well thought out questions. 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. Now let's talk to Mac and get our Lake Lanier Ram Fishing Report. Good morning, Mac.
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Good. You headed out today?
No, not today. Going down to see the G-Day game, actually, with my kids.
Okay, good. Good for you.
So we're going to take a day off. And I got to tell you now, last week, I got to cover this. I'm in my truck, and my timing was really bad last week, and I didn't call in, and I apologize to everybody, but I heard at some point in the show about 5:15, you and Gil were talking about we hadn't heard from Mac, and you pointed out he's probably asleep. I got caught. I was not asleep. I was on the lake already.
Oh, okay.
So it just timed out, but I apologize for not getting everybody to report, but I wasn't sleeping in now.
Good. You always make up for it.
I try hard anyway. We got a good report. I think today's going to be a little tough out there. You got a lot of wind post-front, but still, you and I have talked about this in the past, O'Neill. The fish are far enough along, they're committed enough, you'll still be able to catch some fish.
Absolutely. When they get up in that shallow water, they're not leaving.
No, things happened last week. That really, that warm temperature, we had that big full moon. I think that really generated a lot of activity, put a lot of fish, a lot of the bass, a lot of the stripers are really shallow, probably more so than people realize. So there's still the patterns we talked about the last two or three weeks are still the same. You need to be a little more diligent. You're going to have to, as far as boat control, you got a lot of wind. You're going to have to really pay attention to your presentation, but you can still catch some fish. Bass fishing, good thing about bass fishing on a big lake like Lanier, you can go to one side or the other or get it back in the creek, and you can't hide from some of the wind to where you, it doesn't influence your boat control and your bait presentation. But we got a lot of shallow fish, and I think if you just want to catch a fish, if you're bass fishing, if you just want to catch a fish, that you're a worm and a weedless wonder, shaky head, and just fish things you can see, you know, visible structures, blown down trees, shallow docks, rocks, thing, just good tangible structures, you'll still be able to catch some fish. Striper fishing, if the wind starts messing with you, you know, always pull an umbrella. That's live bait fishing in the good stiff wind can really get compromised. Your presentation can, but you can pull that umbrella and some sloppy stuff, and we've got a decent umbrella bite.
That's gotten to be a real dependable go-to way to get bit, isn't it?
It can bail you out if you, particularly as the week goes on, the weather moderates, and you probably, Henry's told you, I'm sure, and I actually put some a video on your site the other day of a green light video we shot.
Okay.
That bite has been off the chain, if you're willing to miss a little sleep, but the lights were just covered up, and I saw a really nice video, same thing from Hartwell, posted by Patrick Miller, just put a camera on a light, and it's just covered with stripers, so... out early, and you can do that at night or early in the morning, but if you have the time, that is well worthwhile right now.
And what you're telling me is not only has application at Lake Lanier, but lakes all over the South, all over the whole Southeast.
Absolutely. Find the green light. And these are submersible lights that are they're hard to see until you get right on them, but the fish just flock to them.
Oh,
you can catch them with a variety of lures, but I always prefer just a small bucktail. I was throwing a little super jig last week, and they cast well. You can fish them fast, but still keep them underneath the surface. And but single hook, you know, I've talked about this, that single hook,
yeah,
it's a really good strike to hookup ratio.
Makes a huge difference. All right, I got to go, pal. So everybody check out Mac on the web. He's got great videos there at Facebook, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Check us out.
You bet. See you, pal. I got to go. This is O'Neill. We'll be back. You're listening to O'Neill Outside, Saturday mornings, WSB and the SB Nation. Right now, let's chat with Hank. Hank the Yank, what do you say, my good friend? Good morning.
Well, before we start and talk fishing,
okay,
I want to wish all our WSB listeners and all your other listeners around the country a happy Easter. And
yes.
for those members of the tribe, a happy Passover, which started
last night. Well said.
So that's my only religion for today. I know politics, no religion. I know this stuff, but we got to mention it just for the folks. Anyway, so listen, before I give you a fishing report, I want to tell you, I just want you to know I do listen to your show. I don't just call up. So first of all, Bill Vanderford is still alive.
Okay.
That's number one.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what he's doing, but he's still alive. He's still doing some writing for the Lake Lanier newspaper, actually. He still has a column in there.
Okay.
So that's number one. Number two, for Richard in West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And you and I, O'Neill, have talked about this hundreds of times over the years. If you go to a pond with bait and you want to take a kid fishing and you're not really sure about where to go and you're going to use a cricket or corn or bread or a hot dog or night crawlers or whatever, if you want to make a big thing out of it, go to the pond the day before, especially the morning or the afternoon before you're going to go fishing. And before you go, get yourself a bucket and mix up some breadcrumbs, some cat food, some corn, and put it all together and make little balls of this food. And go to the pond where you're going to take the kid and throw these balls of food into the area where you're going to fish. And when you come back the next morning, you've baited the hole. All the fish from the pond will come over there. When you take that kid fishing, the kid's going to think you are a master angler. You just knew where they were going to be. And you and I have talked about this forever.
Oh, yeah. That works.
And it works. So anyway, as far as Lanier goes, you know, the fishing, yeah, the spring O'Neill is tough, even though the fish are shallow. The toughest part of fishing on Lanier this time of year is on weather patterns. We get front after front after front that comes through every 3 or 4 days. And if you can fish in between the fronts, you can do quite well. If you're going to fish a day after or 2 days after the front, especially with a big temperature drop like we're getting today and tomorrow, it can make life a little more difficult with fishing. So your numbers aren't going to be quite as high. Even though the fish are committed and are shallow, it just feels like they're swimming with their fins over their mouths. They just don't eat quite as well. But one of the things you can do, and Mac, you know, alluded to it some, is the dock light fishing is off the charts right now.
Oh,
and if you can wake up early and hit a dock light and find a dock light, and by the way, the way we find dock lights is what we do is we go out on a part of the lake that we're going to fish, and we just drive around. We don't even fish. We go out after, you know, after dark and just drive around and look to find these big green lights shining on the water or even above water lights. If there's a white light above water, not a yellow light, the fish don't get on the yellow lights, believe it or not. They get on the white lights, the upper and above water light. And you can catch fish on those lights. So you just got to locate them. And the best thing to do is try and locate two or three near each other, because what happens on these lights, O'Neill, is when you catch a fish, you need to pull that fish off the light quickly, because if he tries to run around the light too much while you're fighting him, he spooks all the other fish off the light, and then that light is done for about an hour until they come back.
Yes.
So you've got to find, you know, other lights to fish, and then just keep going around and around and fishing those lights over the course of a couple hours, 3 hours. And that's the way to do dock light fishing. As far as the trout fishing was really, really strong until we had all this rain, and some of the rivers now are blown out. So, you know, I got to tell you, if you're not sure what to do this weekend, can I make a really good suggestion?
Please.
1 o'clock this afternoon on MLB, the Yankees are playing Kansas City. For all you new Boston listeners up there in Massachusetts, you can sit at home and watch a Yankee game.
Okay.
That's all I got for you, pal.
Okay, that's enough. That's good. Wonderful report, and you're right about the lights.
Yeah.
That sets up the entire food chain gets set up underneath one little spot.
It really does. And, you know, for me, I have a trip tomorrow, and I insisted. I told my customers, if you're willing to wake up early, we'll hit a dock light tomorrow. You know, we'll get out at 5:30 in the morning and hit three or four or five lights before first light. And that at least ensures that my clients are going to get some fish. And that's the only way that I can make the proverbial lemonade out of lemons when you get a cold front that pushes in. So that's what we got to do.
Well said.
All right, pal. Have a great weekend. Always good chatting with you.
You bet. Happy Easter.
Happy Passover.
I'll see you soon, pal. Oh, I always enjoy listening to Henry. All right, let's see if I did the right thing here on here. Now let's talk to Paul. He's on O'Neill outside at 31 after the hour. Good morning, Paul. Oops, I didn't push the right button. I'm sorry. All right, there we go. Maybe now I have Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Lovely. Indeed.
I'm calling about the reintroduction of elk in Kentucky near the Virginia and Tennessee borders at about 3,000 feet. They've reintroduced elk. So people can hunt and take photographs of elk in counties that have a lot of strip mining. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to get people to support hunting and tourism in counties that are real poor up there in the area around Hazard and Harlan. And the area north of Tennessee.
When did the latest stocking occur?
I think it's been a couple of years. It's kind of hard to get news out of that area. It's not a real sexy area for news. But this has been a couple of years ago.
I think they tried that once, I'm going to say about a decade ago, and it worked to some great degree. So, you know, you're telling me that they're giving it another try.
Yes. I think people can call the state government in Kentucky and Frankfort and find out more information about the season that hunting is open, or if people just want to go up there and take photographs, they can do that too. It's near the Cumberland River. A lot of the rivers in the eastern United States start in that area, and they the Potomac River starts higher up in West Virginia, and the Kentucky River starts up there. And there's also a lot of trout fishing in that area.
Mm-hmm. Well, the outdoors, hunting, fishing, and so forth would be of great economic benefit there. And it's, you know, I'm sure that there were elk at one time was a natural species in that territory. So the reestablishment of that species would be a wonderful thing.
Yeah, they have a lot of wild areas up there, and one of the state parks is Pine Mountain. It's at 4,000 feet. There's a
there's a
radio station that has news about the coal layoffs and the cooking, the Appalachian cooking up there, and that broadcasts to parts of five states.
Oh, okay. Well, wonderful. What's that station number? Do you know?
It's 88.7. It's WM, like Melissa, M like Mary, T like Tennessee. It was started. It's started by volunteers and built in 1985. And they don't get much government money, but they have a lot of listeners that give $20 or $30 a year.
How about that? That's interesting. Well, I'll be in touch with them. I really will. It's a good call. I appreciate you taking the time to do that, expand our knowledge of Kentucky and what might be available for the elk hunter without having to go all the way to Wyoming.
Well, thank you very much. I'll tune in again, and I'm learning a lot from these other listeners about bass and the antelope in Texas. This is really something special. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's time to talk about outdoors instead of politics, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's refreshing, isn't it?
Well, the United States has a lot of outdoors news. Some countries are a lot smaller and don't have as much outdoors stuff. So we're lucky. And we have to protect what we have.
Matter of fact, when we come back from this break in a few minutes, let me tell you, I hope you'll be listening, we'll have the Medal of Honor tribute. Then, if someone will remind me, I'll tell you who pays for conservation in this country and why it's so successful. How about that?
All right, I'll be listening.
I hope you do. Thanks for calling, pal. There you go. All right. It's 36 after the hour. When we return, we will have more of your calls, of course, and we'll have the Medal of Honor tribute. That's the high point of the second hour of the program. Then we'll handle the subject of who pays for conservation, whether it's the Humane Society, the Fund for Animals, is it PETA? Who pays for conservation in the United States? One of my favorite subjects, and we'll talk about that after the Medal of Honor tribute. We'll be back.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Archie Van Winkle, Korea. 1950. Immediately rallying his men in the area after a superior enemy force penetrated the center of the line under cover of darkness, Sergeant Van Winkle spearheaded a determined attack through withering fire from enemy positions. and already wounded once, he succeeded in enabling his platoon to gain the fire superiority. Realizing that the left flank squad was isolated from the rest of the unit, he rushed through 40 yards of fierce enemy fire to reunite his troops. Despite already being shot in the left arm and rendering it useless, he took a second direct rifle round to the chest. Severely wounded now, he staunchly refused evacuation and continued to shout orders and words of encouragement to his depleted and battered platoon as he was lying on the ground, and finally was carried from his position unconscious from the loss of blood. Archie Van Winkle, Korea, 1950, the only Alaskan to receive the Medal of Honor, and he died in 1961. So, Medal of Honor tribute, it is always my pleasure, and I will tell you that there is a, I think it's the History Channel or A&E, I believe it's History Channel, you can watch some excellently produced videos or movies or small movies, segments about the Medal of Honor winners. Right now, before we get to our other subject, let's chat to with Wade, I believe, is in Kentucky. Good morning, Wade. How are we this morning?
Morning, O'Neill. Doing good, buddy. Doing good. I messed around and got me a job.
Good.
Yeah, I'll start next week.
Wonderful.
I was going to tell you, you're talking about those elk. Up here, they got Kentucky Afield comes on every Saturday at 3 o'clock. Uh-huh. I think you can watch it online. And it talks about the hunting and fishing up here, kind of like George Outdoors you do down there.
Okay.
But they got a good segment this Saturday on those elk. I'll study up on that and get back with you next week.
Love to hear about it.
I talked to one of the DNR guys. I ran to the store up here the other day and stopped and I gave him a drink.
Uh-huh.
I stopped up there to get gas. I said, sir, where'd I catch a trout around here? There's a little trout stream right around the corner I hadn't found yet.
Uh-huh.
But I was going to tell you, you're talking about feeding animals like that. Up there at the Dawson Forest, Deanna's mama's got right back up to the forest. She got 5 acres and she's surrounded by the forest land.
Uh-huh.
She got about a 300-pounder eating out of her bird feeders.
Oh, my goodness.
It comes right up, but she got two sliding glass doors at the back of the kitchen where she can look out toward the woods. That joke will come right up in there and looks in there like she's coming to dinner.
Oh, boy.
I told her, you go keep feeding them birds, you go have a bear for dinner.
That's right. You need to, you can't do that. That's guaranteed failure. You feed the bears with a bird feeder or something off the back porch, or putting out corn, or putting out feed, that's guaranteed failure. Maybe not for you, but it is for the bear.
Yeah, they feed the deer, too. They put the corn out there for the deer, so you know the bears done found it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you, my nephew, that crazy little joker.
Sure.
He took a bird he mounted 2 years ago out and put it down there hunting in Oglethorpe County last week. Took the turkey that he had mounted in full strut, set it out there in the field about 30 yards from him.
Uh-huh.
Got on the tree line, and the gobblers come up wanting to fight with it. He waited, they got their heads together, shot two with one shot.
That's good.
That Derek White is a catcher, I'm telling you.
Shot placement, that worked.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He set that up like a television show.
Yeah, there you go.
My girl Jenny Burks is down there on Lanier wearing the spots in a largemouth out, fishing around docks around Holiday.
They're shallow.
And Justin Shepard, he's been killing them over around a Big Creek Park,
mm-hmm.
and the back of Big Creek in there, toward where they take the water out of the lake for Buford's water supply.
Oh, yeah.
They're wearing the spots and the largemouth.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my that's one of the areas that I used to spend so much time at, the Buford water intake.
Yeah, so there's a dock right across from it, O'Neill. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't let them build on that lot forever, and a friend of mine and his brother-in-law was partners on that dock. And 2 years ago, I used to go home just to listen to your show.
Oh.
2 years ago, I had the lights on every night. I'd go down there about 11 o'clock, turn the lights on, and I'd go down there about 1 or 2 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
When you get them spots and them largemouth pattern around them lights, you pretty much tell when you go fishing. We take our sleeping bag down there and set alarm on our phone.
Oh, how about that? Good for you.
We go down there and have a good old time.
You bet.
Hey, I'm going to ask you something.
Go ahead.
I know I asked you last week. That's a pretty trout behind you.
Yes,
that
is.
Where'd you catch
that?
I think you told me.
I think I caught that fish in the the Soquie River at Black Hawk Fly Fishing, and I believe he was 28 or 29 inches.
That's a pretty fish.
You bet.
I got one out of Lanier back before they put the stripes there. Oh, you were talking about Bill Vanderford a while ago. I got to chime in on that.
Okay.
Bill Vanderford writes for the Lakeside News. He's a travel writer. Mm-hmm. He travels all over Southeast, really travels everywhere. And he writes in, he's got an article comes out every month.
Uh-huh.
Any store's got them. Hammond's has got them. Pop Place's got them. The Island Store's got them. The bait store's up on Flyer Branch. They've got them. But Bill's a writer. I met him when Clifford Kraft. You know Clifford Kraft?
I remember Clifford.
He come home from service in 1972, and they built a house right beside Daddy's house over there.
Oh,
and
yeah?
Clifford and Daddy fished all the time. Oh, I finally figured out. I got to send you. I keep telling you this. I ain't done it yet. I finally figured out how to work this thing where I can send you pictures.
Oh, good.
I got a picture of Daddy and Clifford standing there. Clifford's even got his flight suit on.
Love
holding
to see
white, holding white bass. They're holding them by the chin, and a fish is dragging the ground.
I'd love to see that. I really would.
But, yeah, when I was 18, 19, back in the mid-80s, Bill was guiding, and he would come over to Pine Isle. I was a server in the gazebo restaurant. Bill would come over to Pine Isle after he fished and bring his guest in there for lunch. He always give me a good report. I know Bill through the Chris. I mean, not Chris, but Clifford Kraft.
Yeah, Clifford's one of my favorite people, and Bill's been around for a long, long time.
Yeah, Bill, yeah, he's a good writer. I like reading his. He takes good pictures and writes good. He's a travel writer for the Lakeside News.
Well, I'll be darned. Well, that's good to hear.
Clifford was one of my favorites. He lived next door. He was a small. He got into tournaments a good little bit. Me and Daddy never had to buy plastic worm. He bring us about a bag full of them.
Right. Well, you know, Clifford made the classic Bassmasters Classic on several occasions, and I think one time he finished either second or third in the Bassmasters Classic.
Yeah, they lived next door to us for, good Lord, 70. They built that house in 70. Daddy built his in Thanksgiving in 72. They built in the spring, and I think they moved about right before I graduated. I think they moved about 81, 82. I think him and Billy moved.
I'm
still in touch with Billy and Gary.
This is kind of funny. Then I got to let you go, and that is, you know what Clifford's oldest son's name is?
Chris. I was there when he was born.
Chris Kraft.
Chris and Emily.
Yeah, his name is Chris Kraft.
Yeah, Chris Kraft, and his daughter's name's Emily. Emily's got two beautiful daughters. Yeah, I remember when Chris was born. I mean, he's like a nephew to me.
Yeah, but he's named for a boat.
Yeah, I know Chris Kraft.
Yeah. Glad you called, Wade.
I was there when they brought him home from the hospital. Clifford could cook too. And Billy's a good cook. Me and Billy worked together at Pine Island in the banquet department. Chris Kraft, and he's a pretty good old fella. I remember when he was little, I used to pick on him. He was like a little brother to me.
He's about
6-7 years younger than me. He had him right after he moved in that house.
I think he's
house in
I think
73.
I think Clifford's about my age now.
Daddy was still here. He'd be, I think, 46 when he died. He's been dead 22 years. Daddy'd be about 70 about now.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Clifford's a little younger than Daddy. You ain't that old, are you?
I'm 75.
Woo!
How
I'm
about
54.
That? Oh, my goodness.
All right,
I got to let you go, pal. Hey, call back next week.
I'll find out about that mail for you, brother.
Please do.
There have a good one.
You bet. I'll see you soon, pal. Now, before I get to this next break and the next telephone calls, I want, I often flatter myself that if you watch O'Neill Outside Television or you listen to the O'Neill Outside Radio Show, maybe you'll be reminded of something, maybe you'll learn something, maybe you'll have something clarified for you. And I am now to an off-discussed subject. Let's go all the way back to the middle 1930s, in which the wildlife in the United States was dwindling. There was no seasons. There were professional hunters, as a matter of fact, that would take the buffalo and whitetail deer and mule deer and sell them. And politicians at that time, Pittman formulated the Pittman-Robinson Wildlife Restoration Act. And because they knew that the wildlife needed to be restored, it needs to be balanced, it needs to be expanded, and so they needed somebody to pay for it, for the Pittman Robinson Wildlife Restoration Act. So who do you suppose it was that volunteered to have a tax placed on sporting goods for fishing and hunting? Well, it was fishermen and hunters. They raised their hand and said, okay, put a 6% excise tax on gun, and it eventually was guns, ammo, rods, reels, lures, and all of that. And the fishermen and the hunters been paying that tax since the middle 1930s. So the Department of Natural Resources and the government agencies that manage wildlife in this country, this is all paid for by fishermen and hunters. And it's not all wild game hunted animals that the money goes to. It's to non-game animals. It's for the management and restoration of wild places and wild things. So the next time you are maybe assailed, confronted, or challenged by someone who doesn't agree with the fact that you are a hunter for birds, for whitetails, for bear, whatever that case might be prepared to defend our sport, to defend what was accomplished. There is no wildlife program that works as well as ours does in the world. Nowhere else does it work like this. Nowhere else is it as well funded. Nowhere else is it as successful as it is in this country. The Wildlife Restoration Act in the middle 1930s, and we pay for conservation, not PETA, not the Humane Society, not the Fund for Animals, not other organizations that claim responsibility. If you're a hunter and fisherman, you buy a license, you buy tags, you buy permits, and you pay an excise tax on your sporting goods. That's how management of wildlife in this country is accomplished. You do it. I do it. We do it. I'll be back right after this. Hi, the last couple of hours, number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the country, if not the world. And we want to congratulate Bob Weekly on being one of the people out there listening to the program. So before I go this morning, I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope maybe you've learned something from my listeners and from my callers. And we do this every week. And if you can plan on it, get up early, then you can be a part of the program by giving us a call and telling us about your trips, where you want to go, where you've been, the fish you want to catch, the animal you want to hunt. Now, separately, I want to encourage you. It sounds like it's a long way off. It's not. Travis, my grandson, now is a full-time outfitter for Rush Creek Guide Service. He lives up in Oklahoma. Make your plans now to hunt with Rush Creek this coming fall. Gosh, it sounds like it's way too soon. No, it's not. They sell out and turn away people every year. If you deer hunt, turkey, coyote, antelope, ducks, geese, or hogs, if you use Rush Creek Guide Service, you will get your shot. You might miss, but you're going to see the animals. This past year, they took 60 white-tailed deer, and they took 234 turkeys. It might be wise for you to plan on visiting Rush Creek Guide Service. I'm sorry Gail missed the program this morning, but you didn't, and maybe you can join us next week. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. 28 years now, and we're proud of it, and more proud of our audience that tunes in nationwide on the SB Nation Network, WSB AM and FM. And let me leave you with this. If you're too busy to go fishing and take a kid along this spring, you're too busy. I promise. I'll see you guys next week.
A song of you.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox Media Group station. This is Atlanta's 24-hour news.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.